you to stand. We're going to read three verses this evening. We'll be short in the preaching. Found over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'd like to start reading in verse number 1 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to read starting in verse number 1. Paul's writing to the most worldly church that he'd ever wrote an epistle to. And this is what he said to them people in his farewell in 2 Corinthians. Do we begin again to command ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. Now thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Word of God that we can hold in our hand that is so dear to our heart. Now I want to thank you for the songs that's been sung this evening. I thank you for the glorious liberty and liberty tonight. And now, Lord, I pray you'd let preaching be easy. Help me to be a blessing to your people tonight. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. I sure do need you tonight. Help me for Jesus' sake, I pray. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Brother Ron started out with a song tonight, and I'd like to fell out of my chair. Apostle Paul said in verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And I want to preach on this simple subject tonight, on the books that men read. On the books that men read. I asked my wife tonight, I'll be honest with you, I wished I would have applied myself a little better in school. And library sort of was a place where you got quiet and took a nap, amen. And when I ought to have been applying myself and knowing what was going on, I found it just to be a quiet place. And I asked her, I said, in a big library, what is written on all the books? She said, oh, that's easy, Ken. Said, it's two categories. One, there's a place that's called fiction. And then the other side is called nonfiction. And under that category of nonfiction, then it's sort of labeled out to whatever suits you fancy. But tonight, I want to preach on the thought, the book read by all men. I wonder tonight, is your life fiction or nonfiction? Now, I want you to notice just simply four little thoughts. First of all, on the books that men read, there is the identity of the book. Now, every book has, it is titled, and it's known by its name. I wonder what kind of name you got on your book tonight. I don't know about you, but my name is very important to me. In Proverbs chapter number 22 and in verse number 1, here the writer simply says this, a good name is better. It's rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. Now, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It does matter what people think about your name. Now, people can talk about you, but it's up to you whether it's true or not. It's not up to them, but it's up to me and you whether what they say be true or not. So therefore, the name of this book, we see that it is titled, Every Book is Known by Its Name. I want to tell you, be careful about your name. The name of our church means a lot to me. When you say Liberty Baptist Church, it's associated with a people. Not a building, but a people. And I'm going to tell you, when somebody calls your name in a community, it's not associated with your neighbor. But it's associated with you and with me. We ought to let our yea be yea and our nay nay. We are, as God's children, we ought to not even need a contract between one another. If I tell you I'm going to do this, I ought to do everything I can to do it. And oh my, the identity of this book, it has a title. Now I'm going to tell you, your book tonight, your book where you're setting in your life that people are reading, it's read by all men, be careful of the name that's on it. Because it's very important. You know, every book they used to say is known by its cover, but that's not so. I bought a lot of cereal that looked good, but it didn't taste too good. You ever bought those grape nuts? They look real good. I don't know why old people eat them, because they'll break your teeth out, amen. I don't know why anybody would buy that kind of stuff. But the label looks real good, and though saying every book is known by its cover, not always. But every book has a title. And so be careful that we keep our name what it is. Matter of fact, our church ought to be known as a church, not a community center. You know, there's a lot of places that they've took Baptists off their building, but the reason we've got Baptists on our sign, we let people know before they come in here what we are and what we do. We're old-timey, fundamental, Holy Ghost-filled Baptist church, and I have nothing to apologize about, none of that tonight. I ain't taking our sign down, glory to God. It's still Calvary. It's still the blood of Jesus. It's still God. It's still Jesus that gets me into the other side tonight. Oh my, the books that men read. We need to be careful about our name. You see the identity of the book, it is titled. And then you'll notice this, some books in my library I got to look in tonight, every one had a title, but every one wasn't torn. I had some books in my library that looks like it's never been taken off the shelf. You know something? We may look like the ragtag band, honey, but I'm glad that God has used us in this day and this hour. And you'll always realize any book that's been handled, it's going to have some wear on the cover. Gives me hope about how I look, how I feel. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with Brother Ken? Well, you are the pastor of Baptist Church another 25 years. Amen. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. Some of you's raised children, raising grandchildren. Some of you's had to plow through and done things for yourself by the grace of God. And maybe the cover's a little bit torn tonight. You ought to be glad there's a God in heaven chose to use you in somebody else's life. And honey, I notice every good book that's used, it's torn on the cover a little bit. Matter of fact, I got some books I got to tape together. Brother Matt, we may all be taped together now, but I'm glad heaven will fix it all. Boy, I've got, you know, I use duct tape a lot. There was a man, matter of fact, on one of my outline books, I take in some sermons when I have time, I'll take and I'll handwrite them down in a book. And I had a book and I'd bound it and I had so much duct tape on it I couldn't read out of it. I met a missionary down in Louisiana, and he bound my notebook to match my Bible. He said, "You sure do have a lot of tape on this book." A lot of us got a lot of tape on the cover. But I sure am glad that it goes with the identity of the book. You know something? I've got a book in my library called The Gospel According to John by Arthur Pink. It's one of the greatest books in my library. If my house was burning, two or three books I would grab. One is my Bible. Number two is my notebooks. And I've got sermons that's been put in there for years and years. But I'd grab that book. And I've noticed by that book, it's torn. Oh, don't think it's strange tonight if fiery trials have come to try you. Peter wrote something about that. I don't know what about the health and wealth boys are going to do if they ever read the book of Job in their Bible. I don't know what they're going to do if they ever read about 1 Peter chapter number 4. Some of you suffered a lot in life. Some of you, it's not been a bed of roses. Some of you's been through the hard school of knocks. Peter was a man's man. I loved him. I'm talking about the identity of the book, not only its title, but many are torn. In 1 Peter 4 and verse number 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Not to try them, but to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you." Sometimes I wonder, "Lord, why has the bottom fell out on me?" He's writing a book. And I want to say something tonight. Verse 13. "But rejoice." "But rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." It's not you they're upset about. It's the God that lives in you that they're upset about. I tell you what, if you don't want to have any problems in this world, then say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. You won't have no problems. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the identity of the book, many all have titles, and many are torn, and then many are tarnished. Some are faded by the elements. Oh, tonight, many people's been through many hard things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1. I want to read a scripture there this evening. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, hath also given unto us the earnest," or the inheritance, "of the Spirit." Now tonight, the books that men read, there's the identity of the book. But number two, there's the intention of the book. Any man that has ever wrote a book, he never wrote it that it would be set on a shelf. And you know something that scares me to death, church? Is that God would leave me to myself, that I'd be put upon a shelf. You know something? I sure am glad God's got a hand a lot bigger than what mine is. I'm glad when I do wrong, there's a God in heaven that knows how to clean my plow. He knows exactly where to push the button at. God knows how to get my attention. I'm going to tell you something. God humbles me a lot so my head won't swell. And I thank Him for that tonight. You know something? God's been good to me. And I thank Him for it. If there's anything that I found out, what he said, without me, you can do nothing. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much money you are. I don't care who you're running with. Without God, you can do nothing. The intention of the book, the intention of it is that it would be sent. I'm glad God has sent some books in my life. How many times have some of you been in a well or you've been in a bad location and somebody thought enough of you to send you a book? I'm glad there's some open books in my life at Liberty Baptist Church and in other locations that right when I need it, somebody, God sent me an open book in my life that would help me on down the road. Oh, I'm glad. Thank the Lord, they're open books. You know, when you're just a shut book, nobody can read you. But when you're an open book and God uses you and people find out that you're human and your marriage has got struggles and opportunities and you're not the sharpest pencil in the box, but there's a God in heaven that's worked everything out for His benefit, for your good. Oh, the intention of the book, it's always been intended to be sent to somebody. I'm glad God knows how to send us something right on time. There's a lot of you. Matter of fact, me and Renee went and seen her daddy tonight. Her daddy sits there in an electric chair all day. All he does is up and down. That's all he does. That's all he can go. But he got on the phone and he called somebody. You know what they told him? I sure am glad you called me today. I sure did need to hear from you. Aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that sent you a book in your life to help you to get on toward glory land world? Honey, I'm glad there's coming a day it'll be no more open books, but we'll be yonder in glory world and heaven will fix it all when we get to the great city. The intention of the book is to be sent. And then, not only has the book been intended to be sent, but it's been intended to be seen. Now, no writer has never wrote a book that he didn't intend it to be read. God wants us to be an open book. Matter of fact, Paul said, let me tell you something before you start right now. You are an open book and people's reading your life. People's reading what you're doing, what they're saying, and where you're going. And let me tell you something tonight. The intention of this book not only is to be sent, but it's to be seen or to be read. A good writer, when really pressed with something on their heart, they can write on very, very unlikely materials. It's not the kind of paper, but it's the writing which men are anxious to see. I don't buy a book because of the paper it's wrote on. I buy it by the content of it. And isn't it amazing that God has took some unlikely pages, some unlikely paper, and has wrote some astounding things on them. I sure am glad God is still writing books in this day and hour. Now, the intention of the book, the identity of the book, but thirdly, there's the information of the book. You see, the pages, they type a story. Pages in a book, they type a story. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 8, the Bible simply says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is a good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Hallelujah. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, there's the information of the book. I want to say this in closing. The pages type a story, but the pictures tell a story. Men may refuse to listen to the gospel, but they cannot ignore the testimony of a consistent Christian. You see, the pages type a story. Pictures tell a story. Don't judge people by one chapter. It's not the end of the story. Many of you tonight, you're in a chapter of life. You just hold on to God. Be faithful. He's writing a book that others can read. I'm glad there's some people, as Brother Irby preached here the other Sunday night, hadn't thrown the towel in. The books that's been put in my life. I've needed instruction. I've needed inspiration. I've needed direction and encouragement. And God had put one of them open books in my life. Boy, I sure do thank Him for the books that He's put in my life. You see, be careful with what folks is reading from you. Because they're watching. They might not be listening to the pages that are typed, but they're all looking at the pictures that tell the story. It's easy to say, I love Jesus on Sunday. What you doing with Him on Monday? It's easy to say, I love God when all the bills is paid. He wants you to say that you love Him when the bills ain't paid. When everything's going good, it's easy to sing victory in Jesus. Things aren't good. He wants you to sing victory in Jesus. You see, folks, tonight, happiness comes from happenings. But only joy comes from Jesus. The books that men read, I say lastly tonight, not only the identity of the book, the cover, the title, the name. The intention of the book, it's always been intended to be read. To be used. To be a help. Can somebody use you as a book to get instruction through this life? I'm glad I've got some older people in my life that I can come and say, how did you do it? How did you make it? You know, the Bible says a man that has a multitude of counselors, he's very wise. We don't have all the answers. Good godly input means a lot, what this Bible has to say. You young people, surround you people that has stability. It'll help your life. The identity of the book, the intention of the book, the information of the book. But lastly, I want to say this, the impact of the book. It changes lives. And it challenges lives. I wonder who you're impacting by your book. Some of you young people at work, you know something? They're watching you. I remember one of the hardest cases I've ever seen. I worked with him a couple offices down. Brother Vince, you'd know him if I called his name. I always had a Bible on my desk there at the plant. He walked in one day and he said, tell me what that book right there says. I began to tell him. Talking about impacting people. He'd seen a lot of Bibles, but he wanted somebody living in front of him to tell him about it. Some visitors walked in from Birmingham. I just being courteous, I sort of pushed it aside. You know what that man asked me? He said, "What's the matter? Are you ashamed of that book?" I said, "No, Tommy. Jesus died for you. And He loves you." And this is what he done in his cocky attitude. He got up, the visitor sitting there on the sofa, and he turned around at me real smartly out of my door, and he said, "Well, preacher, if I die and go to hell in my sins, I can say I've had a good time." And that's what the Holy Ghost gave me. I said, "Yeah, Tommy, you said it right. You had a good time. But where you headed without Jesus, you won't have a good time." Before cell phones ever come on the scene, we had beepers. I had it on my dresser, and I woke up that morning, 2:15, that beeper went off. I called, it was a noon number, I didn't know what it was. About 8 o'clock, I called and I said, "Did y'all call? Something wrong at the plant?" They said, "Is this Ken Bowman?" I said, "Yes." Yeah. She said, "Ken, I'm Tommy's wife." Said, "Last night we was in a club. They set a drink down in front of Tommy, and he began to stir his drink, and he began to cry. He said, 'Ken, I don't know what come over Tommy, but he made me get up and leave and come home,' and said he's been walking the floor all night. And about 2 o'clock, he called you and said, 'Ken, he couldn't get in touch with you.' So what he done, he went out the back trailer door and he fell down by the dog pen and he prayed and asked Jesus to save him. And Ken, he's in the bed asleep. You want me to wake him up?" I said, "Oh, no, let him sleep." You see, I never knew Tommy was really watching me like that. The books men read. God's put you in front of a lot of people. Be impactful. Let me tell you something. We all have tough times. But I come to tell you tonight, we got a God that'll walk through it with you. And I know what I'm preaching tonight. I've been at my lowest, and I've seen the highest. And He's been with me in all places, but I tell you where He's been the most special is at my lowest. That's where I found Him, to be so near and so dear. I appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us.